Hi there, everyone. Ben Hook and Sophie Hilditz with you. We are about to embark on the South Australian pennant golf season, the Simpson Cup for the men, the Sanderson Cup for the women. The men get underway on February 22. The women get underway on March 8. Sophie and I have taken the opportunity to catch up with a number of the key protagonists in pennant golf this year. And these are our first interviews coming up. We chat with Michael Munn and Zoe Manton from the Glenelg Golf Club, two key players in their premiership victory last year, and they'll be returning as the defending champions for the pennant season coming up in a week. And Ross Steedman from the Grange Golf Club joins us. Ross and his team were runners-up in the Simpson Cup last year. They are absolutely determined to break what is quite a premiership drought for the Grange Golf Club, one of the absolute elite golf clubs here in South Australia. Here's Sophie and my interview with Michael Munn and Zoe Manton, and then with Ross Steedman of the Grange Golf Club. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
Well, the 2026 South Australian pennant golf season is just days away. It is the men and the Simpson Cup who begin at Glenelg on the 22nd of February. The women a couple of weeks further down the track when they get underway on March 8 at Royal Adelaide. We want to preview as many of the teams as we possibly can. But where else would you start than with the defending champions, the Glenelg Golf Club, and two of their premiership stars have been good enough to join us once again, Michael Munn and Zoe Manton. Michael, Zoe, welcome back to Hooked on Sport.
Good to be back, Hookie. Happy to come back every year if this is the case, mate. So good to be back.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Congratulations once again on what you did last year. Money, hadn't won it since 2019. Has the mindset changed this time around knowing that you've got a title in the pocket?
No, because last year, as we spoke about last time, we mid-season, we changed the way we wanted to go about it. And we tried to tweak that a bit. Gareth Jones has come back from Japan, so we've got some sessions booked with him. Which will add to our coaching group, which will be fantastic. So, there's plenty of work to do. There's a lot of good golfers and teams have improved this year. So we need to make sure that our game is ready to go on Feb 22.
Well, Zoe, it kind of pains me to say because you beat me in the semi-finals, your team, on the way to grand final. To lift that Sanderson Cup, which is named after Pauline Sanderson, just an SA golfing legend. She actually started playing golf at your home club, the Glenelg Club. Tell me, because I really am desperate to know, how does it feel to lift that Sanderson Cup in 2025?
It was very, very cool. I think especially because it was the first time we'd won Sanderson, and since when I joined Glenelg, maybe the first time we won Sanderson since I joined. So it felt like it had been, well, forever for me. but it was really exciting, especially when we had success in Pike and then moving to Sanderson and being able to continue that is just, it's always very satisfying when you feel like you can keep moving forward. But yeah, we worked really hard and we felt like, you know, obviously we deserved it and everything went right in the end on the day for the grand final as well. So yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Zoe, I've got to ask, I've noticed Sophie Hilditch has been hanging around the Glenelg Golf Club regularly over the past couple of weeks. Has there been a serious recruiting drive coming on? Have you landed the big fish, the Marlin, Sophie Hilditch, to come and leave Royal Adelaide and join the Bays?
I haven't heard about that one, but I might have to make some phone calls. Is that my job now? I'm going to start recruiting.
Yeah, well, it'd be a good get, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. We'd love to have you, Soph.
What are the chances, Soph?
No, I think that's very generous. I'm very much a small fish. I don't think Glenelg need me at all. But I have been hanging around the Glenelg Club. I've seen Zoe a couple of times, actually.
She's actually there to see me, so.
Money, let's just talk about the preparation. I guess one of the great challenges of this earlier season is, you know, we get through Christmas and New Year and pretty much all of a sudden the pennant season is upon us. Is it a bit more difficult to get prepared this year than perhaps the traditional lead up into sort of mid-April?
Yeah, it is. And that's what we found. Been talking to Shane Robinson-Robbo, who runs our program, and we... there's two breaks this year as well for us. So you sort of start, have a break with Liv, play a few games, and then have another break. So it definitely is going to be a different year. It's going to be a bit longer. So trying to hit your peak form at the right time is going to be crucial. And we're going to take a lot of our learnings from last year and what we did, and put that into play again across all our squad, and hopefully that works again. But definitely going to be a bit different. It feels like it's crept up really quickly. But starting at home will definitely be a nice way to start.
And Soph, I know you've got more stuff to ask, but that is the perfect way to relaunch a season when you are the defending champions, is
100%.
On a brand new course. We've seen it. It's absolutely spectacular. I think Sophie's made the point that the last six holes are just going to be incredible for match play. There's going to be so much drama and so much theatre on those last six holes. What a great way to open the season.
Oh, I can't wait, Hookie. It's when I was getting built, and you're wanting the full course and waiting for it, and that stretch through 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 is just like it's a privilege to play every week, to be honest with you. And then those last few holes, 15, 16, 17, 17, I think is probably arguably the hardest hole in the course now. So you want to have your game in good order, chipping and putting around 17 if the game's on the line. So it'll be exciting. It'll be good. Really good.
I often thought maybe Glenelg last year was onto something, reducing the course to 16 holes. You guys learned how to close out games quickly from the looks of things, because you'd only been playing 16 holes. But Zoe, I'll go straight back to you. Sanderson this year has actually changed a little bit. We still have our top five teams, which is Blackwood, Glenelg, Royal, Cooey, and then Grange. But it's actually a top three now for the finals. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I didn't actually know that was a thing until you just told me. I've only been to one pennant training, so I haven't even heard that. Is it like, how does that work? Can you tell me? I don't know anything about it.
It's top one actually goes straight through to the grand final this year, and 2v3, which will then make your way to the grand final from the winner from that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's definitely interesting. I think that means definitely like qualifying number one gives you a massive advantage. I mean, that's a crazy difference to versing the team that's, 1-4 and stuff. There would definitely be a lot more strategy probably in the minor rounds as well, trying to get that top position. I imagine that'll be a goal that most teams will be focusing on and will obviously focus on as well. But that's kind of exciting. I didn't know about that. I'm excited to see how that pans out. But, I haven't even heard of that happening. Is this the first time ever in Sanderson that's happened? Yeah, so that's really exciting that for the first year. I think I honestly don't tell Glenelg I said this, but I love a good semi-final. I don't know if I'd want to qualify first, to be honest, because then you're also missing a week of golf. And I feel like maybe the semi-final can give you a bit of motivation, a little bit of practice, versing another team in a in a big final. Is it actually a disadvantage? I don't know. I haven't even thought about that. I don't know what course is that either, but I think there will probably be a lot of strategy around where you actually want to finish on the leaderboard in comparison to other years. You're kind of like, oh, we're second, we're going to play this team, definitely going to be looking at the leaderboard more, I suppose.
I think one of the interesting things about the structure of the season, and Sophie, you can jump in here as well, so where we've just talked to Money, who will open the season on his home course, every time a match is played at a particular course, that club will have the bye. So when Glenelg hosts, Glenelg has the bye. When Royal Adelaide hosts, Royal Adelaide has the bye. No one will play at home during the minor round this year. I'm interested in both of your thoughts on that, because it does level the playing field a little bit, but there's something quite special about playing a pennant match on your home course as well, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think you have support. Like, it's easier for people at your golf club to come watch you if it's at your home like course. So there's that aspect, but I think also depending what course you play at, it's definitely an advantage. Like, I would have thought being a member at Blackwood, Blackwood's quite a different course to say like Cooey or Royal. Like, they all have different aspects, and Blackwood's probably the most different course in that sense, because there's more like trees and everything. So I would say maybe that's a disadvantage for some teams, not being able to play, have people verse them at your own course. Like I would say versing Blackwood at Blackwood is not easy because they know that course so well. And we had to do that last year. So, yeah, I think that's – it's probably a bit sad. I love playing at my own course just because of the support you have. But, yeah, I think that some teams might be upset about that as well.
What do you think, Soph?
Yeah, I tend to agree. It's interesting Zoe jumped straight to Blackwood. It's exactly the same thoughts as me. I always think playing Blackwood at home is one of the hardest tasks because those greens are pretty tricky. They know exactly how to read them. I think also Blackwood tends to be a bit of an older club, but around Blackwood, it's a lot of shorter holes and a lot of layups, so they really come into play a little bit more than, say, courses like Royal where it's a little bit longer off the red tees for them. So a bit easier for our younger players who have a bit more distance off the tee. So I think it's a bit disappointing. But last year, for example, Kionga had two home games and that tends to often happen, particularly with Grange hosting Liv. There's always a couple of issues with scheduling. So I think it's a bit of a shame. I agree with Zoe. I love playing at a home club. I think it's pretty special. You do get a lot of spectators out when it is your home club, which may not happen this year. Members might still go out and watch, but I doubt it if they don't know the players that are playing. So it's a bit of a shame, but I can understand why they've made the change.
Couple of questions for you both. I'll start with you, Money. Any changes to your squad this year? Anyone who's come in of note?
No, not anyone's come in. We got some people like, yes, joining the squad, but for that have been around the club for a little while, have come back into the in squad. We have lost Josh Hayes. Joshy was a rock last year at three, so he's going to be hard to replace. But we got some ripping guys in some good form who were playing Bonner last year, so that will be good to give them an opportunity to step up. But we got the likes of Jack Landon and stuff is just getting better and better and better. And he missed the final last year. So, I know speaking with Jack, he's away in Perth at the moment. I've seen him on Saturday. He's really keen to, get some success, before his journey of golf begins. So, no ins as no hooky, but, good, strong squad. So it should be good.
Your biggest threat, which is the side that you'd identify as the your biggest challenge this year?
Yeah, it's. I think everyone's going to improve. I know we played Grange, had a trial against Grange, a few weeks back, and they were particularly strong. So they got the Alan Jin, I think his name is. I can't pronounce that.
Good player.
He's improved like your Jack Landon types, right? So I've seen his scores. Through all these events, he's been performing really well. You got Hendo and Ross who have been mainstays there for a while, but they've got some other blokes who Nick Thompson, I played with him. He's come back from I played a young kid called Angus. I can't pronounce his last name. A 16-year-old, 6'3" kid who just hits it miles. He hits it really good. And then they got another recruit who I think plays like plus 4 or 5 or something. So they're going to be strong. Kui are always strong. Royal competitive, it's going to be on. I think the challenge for teams this year, if you're not a full-time golfer, like you're not practicing playing every day, to keep the momentum going through the year will be the challenging part. And then hitting that form at the right time will be really, really good.
Zoe, you've had a chance to work out the question, so here they come for you, mate. What's your squad looking like this year? You're pretty similar?
My opposition's in this goal. look, I don't really notice much different. I think as the three of us girls, as we get a bit older, I know Beck's doing a lot of awesome police stuff, so I'm not sure she's going to be as available as she was last year. I think the rest of the squad, we're ready to go. I think the rest is pretty similar. I'm trying to think. I think the rest is the same.
You've only been to one pennant training. What would you know anyway, Zoe? You're going to have to introduce yourself to your teammates on the first tee,
March. Yeah, I know. They've all forgotten who I am. I was like, hey, guys, it's been a year. I think it's the same.
Obviously, present company aside, with Sophie there, the skipper at Royal Adelaide, who do you think is going to be your biggest challenge this year?
It's really hard to say when you don't really – I think each team has to kind of – set their own tone for the season, and then you kind of figure out where everyone's at. And the thing is, every time everyone plays each other, things change so quickly. So I don't know. I would say Cooey's always there, and Broyles also there. Grange. I mean, they're all up for the fight. So I don't really think we have a major threat. I think it's more how threatening we can be. But yeah, I'm excited to see how the season pans out, and I think we'll be able to identify the strongest team the more forward we go, and obviously they'll qualify first. So again, that'll highlight really where the pack's at.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's a bit hard leading into where the season is now. Normally had heaps of Vardens and everything, so you kind of get a feel for where how people are playing and what's going on. Particularly in Sanderson, because we have so many junior girls. It feels very weird talking to my opposition right now about this, so I apologise, Zoe. But look, I've had so much fun in the past, 6 months talking about South Australian golf, and I think SA golf is just heading in such an incredible way. I'm just asking both of you, what are you most looking forward to in this pennant season?
So I like to compete against the better players, so... Like, I'm an old fart now, so I, my time is coming to an end with my, my boys are getting a bit older and they're demanding a bit more on me with them. But as just competing against the guys you've competed against for a while and playing against the younger kids coming through and seeing their game and seeing their love for the game, and watching them grow, that's the big thing for me is, I've got one more bucket list I need to tick off, and I'm not going to say it because it has been on the show before. I haven't got over the line against that guy at all, and he's got me about five times. So I want him this year. Whether I'm good enough, probably not, but we'll give it a crack. But I just competing against those guys, because that's what Pennis was good in winter as well, is that it gave you something to do, like to prepare for, because it's cold and wet. So you work through that time. So just a challenge against them and seeing where your game's at versus their game, and just trying to get the team up and about when needed. So that's where I'm at with Pennants. But like seeing the Jack Lenners of the world versus the Alan Jins and the Anguses of the world, love watching Sam Earl play golf, Heath Richies, Billy Cawthorn. Like these guys are. Really, really good golfers for a long time. So just watching them and their passion for it, it just is contagious. So you just want to get in and get amongst it and compete. So that's where I am with Pennants.
How about yourself, Zoe?
I'm just really excited to play a lot of golf. I just love pennant, and pennant often feels like a bit of a reunion. I feel like, I don't know, maybe this is a girl thing, but I just love seeing all my friends every week. But yeah, I'm really excited for the challenge. I feel like we're kind of just getting started. And so I'm super, super hyped to see what we can do this season. And on more of a personal note, just spending Sundays with my dad and having him on the bag and just being with my friends. And I think I love being really competitive, but doing with people that I love spending time with. So that's always something that I really look forward to. So that's probably the main thing. Other than that, just seeing how I can improve over the season. It's going to be, it's a busy time having it earlier in the year just because of uni and all of this other stuff going on. But I'm excited to see how I can stack it up against my schedule and, yeah, hopefully you get some wins on the board. It'd be nice, but yeah.
The 2026 Simpson Cup season gets underway at the Glenelg Golf Club on February 22. The women's season, the Sanderson Cup, on the 8th of March at the Royal Adelaide Golf Club. Both occasions, Glenelg will start as the defending champions of both titles. And who knows, in about 3 months' time, we might be sitting here chatting to Money and Zoe once again as the back-to-back title holders. That would not surprise at all. Zoe Mant and Michael Munn, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks very much, Ricky. Thanks, Sophie.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Well, having had the conversation with the 2025 premiers, it is time to turn our attention to the 2025 runners-up in the Simpson Cup competition. They were sterling right throughout the year. They came up just ever so slightly short on the final day of the year. But Ross Steedman, one of their star players, has been good enough to join us and take us through the preparations for the Grange Golf Club ahead of the Simpson Cup in season 2026. Ross, thanks for joining us and welcome to Hooked on Sport.
Thanks, Hookie. Thanks, Sophie. Appreciate you having me on tonight. It's an exciting season ahead for us at Grange. 2026, our centenary year, of course. So, yeah, some unfinished business for us at Grange, hopefully.
How do you reflect on 2025, mate? I mean, a final is a great achievement in what's a really cutthroat competition. I'm sure you're disappointed with the last day, but still would have been very satisfying with what you achieved over the course of 2025.
Yeah, absolutely, Hooky. Listen, it was a tough pill to swallow on the day for the boys. You know, we got to hand it to Glenelg. They know how to get over the line in these things in recent time. And, you know, they were just a better team on the day. You've just got to put your hand up and congratulate the boys, shake their hands and say kudos to them. So for us, it was, you know, I suppose not just last year, but in previous years, we've had a really good culture that's grown over time, and we're a big advocate on the process for the squad. And what that means is, you know, just whether it be one shot, one hole, one match at a time, just let the rest sort itself out and just try and control the controllables, really. So thankfully that's worked well in the last few years. Unfortunately, we just haven't got over that line as of yet, but some good signs for the boys, for sure.
You kind of touched on it just then, Ross, about the culture of Grange. And I'm always very interested when it comes to pennant, because obviously golf is an individual sport. And when we come and play pennant, we all of a sudden become a team. What has your preparation looked for this year, particularly after grand final? I mean, it's always hard experiencing a loss. I've experienced it myself as a team. It normally does suck a little. So what's your preparation look like for a teamed event like pennant?
Yeah, for sure, Soph. In terms of, I suppose, kind of going back on last year's final loss, you know, we actually had the Bonner team in the final as well, and unfortunately they couldn't get over the line either. So there was two teams there, a pretty big cohesive group that collectively got together, got around each other. I think that's what you just got to do. You've got, at the end of the day, you know, seven blokes on the same team, you know, suffering at the same time. So it's not just yourself feeling it, it's other people. So, you know, and you've got to congratulate everyone as well for a season of hard work and dedication for the club as well. So there's a lot of positives that do come out of a season. Unfortunately, at the end of it, the result's probably not exactly what you're looking for. But kind of going towards that then into the prep for this coming season, it's a lot of, I suppose, getting around each other, playing your Saturday comps, saying hi to everyone throughout the year, just seeing how they are, checking in. You know, that really kind of goes hand in hand with golf being such a social sport. And, you know, just outside of golf, then you might see them outside the golf club and hang out and whatnot. But going forward then into, I suppose, your practice and your prep for this coming season, there's, you know, a fair bit of drill work and on the range and some short game stuff and matches. So, yeah, there's quite a lot that's gone into the season ahead for sure.
Ross, between 98 and 2014, so 1998 and 2014, the Grange won this eight times in 17 years, and you've now gone 12 seasons without a win. Does that steal the group that little bit more, that you are a club that routinely is at the pointy end of this competition and you just haven't been able to get over the line for more than a decade now, which I was only looking at the stats the last few days. That surprised me.
Yeah, it's a stat that probably we don't want to keep barking on about too much, to be honest, because we already know. But to be perfectly honest, like, there's been a few I suppose, teams that have won, you know, three in a row or two in a row.
Yeah.
Have been thereabouts, and a lot of them have kind of been from, you know, gun golfers that have ended up turning pro in time. Like, in, you know, for example, you've got your, in recent times, your Jack Thompsons, your Liam Georgiadis, your Matt Lisks, these type of players going back a few years before that. Your Tom Bonds, your Justin Crowders, Nick Cullen, of course. And thankfully, we've kept a couple in the wings with Alex Hendrick and Darren Baines over the years. So to have those boys in the mix and have that experience rub off, especially on some of the younger boys coming through now, is a big plus for us at Grange.
Well, obviously, Hookie is touching on the history of Grange, and it's always hard to look at a 12-year stretch of not having had a win. But what is it like playing for your club? What does it feel like? What does it mean to you to play for Grange?
Oh, I'm not going to talk for the rest of the boys, but I'm sure they would agree. It's you know, for me, it's a massive thing for my, I suppose, schedule. I have a lot of pride out of Grange. There's a lot of people there that are one club people as well, so they wear their badge every week with pride. At the end of the day, you rock up any week, especially in Simpson Cup, and you're technically the seven best players that the club's putting up in a match. So you should take an awful lot of pride out of that as well. There's been a, in terms of that culture again, we kind of instrumented something a few years back with our Simpson Cup hats that, similar to your baggy greens in cricket, we've added our player numbers on the side. So that's down with the records and the guys in the office that know all the details on that front. But, you know, having that number on your side gives you a bit more pride, I think, as well, that you're the, you know, the 90th player that's ever played at Simpson Cup for Grange, or you're 100 player, so no one else is going to have that number ever again. So that's a big thing for us with the culture.
Brilliant. Love it. Hey, talk about one of those guys who's got a number on the side of his cap, Alan Zinn. He's a name that Sophie and I have talked about regularly on this podcast. He's been very, very impressive in a couple of the junior amateur events. He looks like he's got a big future. Tell us a bit about him.
Yeah, Alan's a very exciting prospect at Grange. Last year was his first year at Simpson Cup, and probably took him a little bit to get used to it. But I think everyone does that when they start off at Simpson Cup or at top level sport. But, you know, he took it in his stride and got us a couple of points throughout the season, which were pretty big. But he's just gone leaps and bounds since last year. He's just you know, tearing up the scene on the junior amateur stage, especially here at home in SA. He's recently, you know, got a couple of runners up back to back at Kiunga in the SA Junior Am, and also at Royal in the SA Junior Junior Masters. So Alan's just going from strength to strength, and we couldn't be prouder of the kid.
Well, going from inside your team, let's look at a bit outside the team. Who do you think your biggest rival this year is going to be, or shaping up to be, I should say?
Well, we always have a good battle with Glenelg each year. They always seem to give us a good match, but, you know, Kiunga is always going to be quite strong. They're always thereabouts come the pointy end of the season. And, you know, you got to give everyone credit where credit's due. You know, anytime you're going, especially onto a home course for a team, you know, you got to give them respect where it's due. So I think every match is always difficult at Simpson Cup level to get over the line. So there's never such thing as an easy win, unfortunately, especially, as you know, Sophie, with golf and match play, anything can happen on the day. So a spanner in the works here, there. But, you know, we're pretty excited this year, quietly. But, you know, hopefully we can give it a good run this year. But as I said, one step at a time, and, you know, round one's not too far away. So that's what we're looking at pretty much at the moment.
What will the rest of the team look like, Ross? We talked about Alan that we expect to see a fair bit of. Similar sort of lineup outside of that. Any inclusions or a few that might miss?
Yeah, so we've been lucky in the sense that we've always kind of improved each year. This year we've got some couple of boys coming into Grange within the last little while. So we've got a couple of ins with Jackson Badowski, who is ex-college golf in the States and pro over in New South Wales. So he's gained his amateur status back recently and now residing in Adelaide. And we've also got Blair Christie, who's come across from the Victoria Golf Club. So Blair, as you may know, Sophie, is with Amelia Winnie. So so pretty big in for us having those two boys. Strengthens not just the Simpson Cup team, but also our Bonner Cup team. You know, fighting places everywhere really this year. So it's a big plus for us at Grange.
Well, no wonder the Royal Adelaide men's team has struggled. So if you're not recruiting big enough headline players, we need to change your dating habits, you girls.
Yeah, that's our problem. We're just not dating right for the girls. We've got to loop some boys in. I did have a giggle when I heard Blair Christie's name and I thought, yep, that'd be right. Millie transferring him across to Grange.
Magnificent. Hey, right now, Ross, you talk about preparing. You must be preparing on one of the all-time great playgrounds at the moment. What's the Grange looking like just days out from Liv?
I actually had the opportunity to play on Saturday just before the event, and the course is looking outrageously good. It's it's a spectacle right now. So it's going to be a good week of golf for the guys in terms of our prep. You know, we're a little bit used to it now at Grange over the last few years. So we've been able to do things a little bit earlier than most, maybe, just to compensate for that. But we'll be fine. We're looking good this year. So we've done the prep that we need to do, and I think in terms of Liv, I think the course is looking great. It's going to be a beautiful week at Grange. And, hopefully if people get down to it, they enjoy it.
Hey, just one more before we go, mate. I want to ask you about Mark DeMarcy, who is closet star of the Grange Golf Club, always plays down the bottom of the order. I don't think he's hit a ball above sort of 20 feet high. He hits the flattest, lowest ball flight I've ever seen in my life, but he just continues to get it done. Was a big winner for you in the final, beating Nick Wake, who's the Glenelg Golf Club champion at the moment. Played league football, Dimmer, so he's been a bit of a multi-talent. Just tell us a bit about the influence that he has on the group.
Yeah, I've got the pleasure of knowing Mark very well on a personal level as a mate, and he's Grange through and through. He's as we touched on that culture, he's a big advocate for it. So he's just positive for us at Grange. As you said, he's hopefully he wouldn't disagree with me too much. He's a bit of a veteran for us with the team, and having him, you know, the arm around the shoulder, picking people up if they need, or giving them that positive energy over the last few years has just been fantastic. So in terms of what he can produce, he's definitely getting the ball a little bit higher. I've got him to open his left foot a bit more, and he seems to be getting that kind of mid-flight ball for a Dimmer, which is pretty much a sky ball these days. But his pedigree, as you said, over the years with other sports, he's got that competitive nature in him. So he'll go to the 18th hole if necessary, or if not more, all the time.
Ross, we're really grateful for your time and just giving us a bit of insight to what's going on with your troops. We know you're going to be around the mark once again, and it'll be no surprise to Sophie and me if we see that the drought, I would call it, of what's gone 11 seasons now ends with you guys lifting the Simpson Cup in 2.5 months' time, mate. Thanks for your time and all the very best for the year.
Yeah, no problem at all, guys. Thanks for having me, and hope to see some more of the public out watching some really good pen and golf this year. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, Ross.
Cheers.